This is us in here. And
this is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It's great. We have like 50 people in here.
You know? I have. Well, that was... That, here, let me play us in. Hold on.
Am I putting this on?
Yeah. Patch? Yeah. Where plug that in. On right where? By... That's a good... Good. And that's you. And then there's a volume button there. Or whatever.
This is great.
Oh, thank you. You can leave your phone on if you want.
Yeah, I'm just making sure my...
My family knows that I do this, and they consistently call during shows, and it's like the biggest insult on the planet.
I love that. That sounds so pretty. I could just sit here
for an hour
and listen to this.
Hey, this is John. This is home from here. And I'm in the presence of big government, so I got to put the guitar away.
What? Music is my first love and passion, always.
All right. Lynn Versace.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. No, we got so lucky. The studio we were in before this was in it was great. But it literally wasn't as big as this table. And it was in the back of a market with the door open, so you could hear dogs.
Oh, who doesn't like a good market?
Everybody likes a good market, but it just wasn't. We needed to move, and
yeah,
so here,
yeah, of course, growth is a big deal in this industry.
Yeah, and so now I can have bands in here, and
let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Okay, cool, beautiful. I was first attracted to your resume.
Nice.
You have a cool resume. You don't often see county legislator, bartender.
And other stuff.
Okay, tell me the other stuff.
Concert security.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel safer already. Thank you.
You should. I'm badass.
Are you?
I'm kidding. Maybe, no.
Well, you'd have to be. Do you train to do concert security?
There was training involved. I box twice a week, so.
Do you really?
Not that I'm going to use that. Really, when you do concert security, it's about conflict resolution. Really,
right.
You're just talking to people and making sure they're happy at the end of the day. Because when you have an issue, when you're at a show, do you get some people that are drunk that want to fight each other? Sure.
Right, right.
And of course, it's not for a 5'1" woman to handle, right? We have big guys that come and will expel people. Not saying that I haven't had to, a little angry at times, but in theory, the big guys are throwing the big guys out. I am a talker. Go figure. Hence the laryngitis.
Understood.
So I just talk to people, because people always have issues. So when you're at a show, find out what the issue is and just mitigate the problem and make sure they're happy at the end of the day.
That probably makes you a good legislator.
I hope so, because really that's what I have to do, right? Find out.
Right.
The issues my constituents are having, mitigate their issues or help them in any way, form, and no matter who it is, right? I'm really bipartisan when it comes to helping anyone. It's like you go up to someone and go, hey, what are you? It's like, no, I help everyone no matter what, who, where, when. Doesn't matter.
Tell me about the boxing. My best friend is 4'10", woman, and a boxer. And I work out with her. Not boxing, but I work out with her probably 5 days a week.
Yeah, she's probably a beast.
Oh, my God. My hands hurt when we high five.
I'm sure.
And I don't have that skill. How'd you get started?
I got started with my trainer. I've been at Gold's Gym for years. And he was like, we're doing this boxing component. And I was like, all right, for lack of hitting people out in the street, sure.
Right.
I'm angry.
I'm pissed. I'll do it.
Yeah. Like, was going through divorce and whatever. So I'm like, sure, let's do this, And I just loved it. I love the workout. I don't spar with people. I don't want to get hit.
Right.
And I don't want to hit people, really.
Right.
Well, not most people. Not most people, anyway.
Did it help with the divorce?
The boxing?
Yeah.
I think it helps with stress in general.
Right.
So just the divorce, my losing my parents 4 years ago. I mean, all of it, a recent breakup. I mean, it helps with everything, Like,
right.
Any kind of stress that you have. I mean, but then again, so does working out. Just going to a gym and doing cardio and putting on some really killer music,
yeah,
boosts your endorphins, yep, right? It's like that's your SSRIs right there, wrapped up into one.
It's so important. And I went through, yeah, a phase where I wasn't doing it, and then I dropped 50 pounds 2 years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, well, I put it on with booze and burgers, so that wasn't that good.
I don't see 50 extra pounds.
We're back down to real life. But thank you very much, though.
You're welcome.
But I forgot how important it is mentally.
I work out mentally because people will say, like, listen, I'm thick. I'm not 110 pounds and 5'1". I'm 140 pounds and 5'1".
You look great, though.
I like to eat. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I like to eat.
Right.
I like to eat. I like to work out. I don't want to look skinny. I want to look like I can kick your butt.
Right. You do.
you know? Like, I don't want to look frail. And right, as I get older, you want to be strong because you lose those muscles. Muscle atrophy starts, sure, setting in as you get older, and menopause hits as us women know.
Oh, man.
Okay, I told my age.
That's fine. That's fine.
But, you lose
Trish,
muscle mass.
My wife Trish, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going through it. And,
it's
man,
tough.
I didn't realize how hard it is.
It's tough. It's
not
real.
Fun. It's
real. It's real.
The hot flashes.
I don't get them anymore because
good,
I had a tumor on my ovary, so they ripped out my ovary and my fallopian tube, so that's like done.
I was just listening to Amy Schumer on a podcast, and she had her uterus taken out, and she kept it.
Yeah, you know, they kept my uterus in me.
Good.
But they could have it. I mean, they could take it. I don't need
it. I'm not using it now.
No, I'm not using it. No one's going to live in there
right
anymore. Like, I'm good, but I don't know that I would keep it, although
She's physically has it.
Right. Sure. That's
bizarre.
Interesting.
Yeah, bizarre.
I wonder what it looks like.
Do you but it ends, right? Like, I'm menopause.
Does it
dumb.
End?
Does
I don't,
it end?
I don't know if it really ends. I mean, hey, listen, I'm on hormones.
Okay.
Do I still get hormonal? I do.
Right.
Do I still get, like, moods where I'm like Veruca Salt? Like, I want a Noompa Loompa and I want it now. Like, do I get bratty? Yeah.
Right.
But is that just being a woman or is it menopause?
I get bratty.
Hey,
it might just be
know
being a person.
Could be just being human, right?
What? Okay.
But I also do business development during the day.
Okay, tell me about
that. So my day job, I work for First Call Restoration Services. So anybody out there that has fire, mold, water issues, you could give me a call or you can
give me a number.
It's 914-475-9866.
And what's the name of the company?
First Call Restoration.
First Call Restoration.
Yeah,
okay.
It's, so I do that during the day. I do business development. Hence the reason, listen, I'm here in Kingston. So when I leave here, it behooves me to be here because I'm out in the field. So I'm going to go out in the field and talk to who I have to talk to here. So I made a day of it, which
right
is great, you know. So I do that during the day and I do my legislation and I'm on a bunch of committees and stuff like that. And the town supervisor of the town of Wappingers made me the chairperson of the Arts and Culture Council.
That's amazing. I wanted to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah.
In the town of Wappinger. So I look forward to bringing more of the arts and different cultures and things like that and having festivals with, we're looking at maybe like a Prague Fest for those artists that are these, you know, they're not cover bands. They have their own music.
Right.
They want it to be shown. They want it to be heard. And there's not really a platform for that. In the same time, during that progress, because I know not everyone likes that music, maybe I would have a smaller stage with acoustic people or, you know, whatever
right
other people jive with.
I'll do the small stage for
great. I would love that. And then, you know, we'll have some maybe arts people on hand showing people, teaching classes, doing things in parks. So,
mm-hmm,
so yeah, I really music is my first love and passion.
Do you play?
I have a Gretsch drum set in my basement.
Sweet.
I think I can only play Living After Midnight.
Okay.
But hey,
something
you got to start somewhere.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I tell my drum, because I have a crazy love for drums and drummers. Most people know that know me. And I tell my drummer friends, you know, you guys make it look so easy. Like, you're like, you know, doing this one and two and three and four. And you're going off on the cymbal and then you're coming back. Tentatively, you're supposed to come back in time.
Right.
My brain, I don't know what happens to it at that moment.
So for me, the hardest part of drumming is the footwork. And people don't understand. Like, if you don't, like, study drums,
yeah,
you miss the foot. And you don't see it. But
yeah, I mean,
footwork is a whole different instrument.
It is. But I think in your basic, you know, one and two and bop, bop, four.
Right.
You know, like, that's kind of like, okay. But it's when you're doing in triplicates.
Yeah.
Things like that. You're like, wait,
that's,
what?
That's, yeah.
And why is his hand doing something totally different time signature than his feet are doing.
Right.
Yeah, then it gets crazy. I don't know if I'll ever get to that level.
Would you play in a band?
Would I? No, I don't have time for that. But okay. I like to play for fun.
Right.
And listen, if I got good enough to play in a band, Lord willing, yeah, I mean, sure, maybe I would do it. But I don't think time commitment, you know, like my dad used to say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, right. practice, right?
Right.
You need time to practice, and time is a valuable commodity, and I value my time. And I want to practice that because I love it. But I love helping people more.
Okay.
Right. Than I love helping myself. So
that must make you fun in a relationship.
It makes me fun. Sure. Ask my exes; they'll tell you how fun I am.
Are you not fun?
No, I'm very fun.
Okay.
I'm very fun. My capital F.
Okay, got it. Do you you said you just had a breakup?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago, a year and 4 months ago, whatever. But who's counting?
Those are so hard. I had the show actually went up today. I had a musician in here, Olivia Bulger. She goes by Liv. And she's crazy, 24 years old, so she's half our age. But crazy talented and some way more mature songwriter than you would think.
That's great.
And she just did a whole album on her ex from a bad breakup. And I'm like, most good music comes from.
Well, I tell you, I do write.
Oh, what do you do?
I write. I write poetry. I say lyrics, but my daughter's like, you could put that into a song, but I don't because that's not my thing. And
right.
My daughter took viola in school, and she's like, oh, there's the bridge. I'm like, what? What? So, like, she's more technical when it comes to that. But I'll journal every day, and I have this grateful thing, and I just write, and I do self-help things just to get me to be a better human than I was the day before, because that's all you really have to be better than is yourself the day before, right?
That's the trick.
So I write, and I love to write. So I have a book of poetry, and sometimes
would
I'll go to the
water.
I would share it. I would share it. Sure, I would share some of it. Yeah.
I do the, you know, the morning pages?
I do know some morning pages. I know everyone does like a morning page. But
yeah, I'd have to do. So I went crazy and then got better. But part of getting better was I have this thing where every morning I have to do 300 pages. And it's not a journal per se. It's just whatever. Like, you can write the word watermelon, but you got to do it for 300 pages. And what it does is it for me, it shifts your mind from, you know, turning on the news and receiving information and getting coffee and receiving coffee to giving, to output. And that makes you – that's just a different alignment, I think.
It is. And I think that's really important to be able to do that and to be able to know to do that. So you say, oh, I went crazy. Well, like, in theory, what's really crazy?
Oh, I was crazy. I was running around in my underwear looking at aliens. I was – well, I was crazy.
Again, you know, some people like underwear and aliens.
Right. But you want you want it to be a choice. You don't want what I was doing.
But yeah, no, I understand that. And I think every day that you wake up and you, like I said, whether it's a grateful journal or whether you write down thoughts in your head or things that you thought about the day before just to process them.
Right.
Because sometimes I'll do that. Like I said, even with the breakup, it was tough and whatever. And now it's, I don't know, hindsight's 2020. You know, you missed all the red flags on those years that you wasted that you were with the person. You're like, oh, well. But I mean, not wasted, but it's a learning experience. No matter who you're with or what you did, you learn from it, right?
Right.
So I don't really want to say waste because that's an untruth. It's you're learning from everything you do, and yeah, I think writing is important to growth.
And do you handwrite or do you type?
No, I don't type. I handwrite.
That's
I still
the move.
Listen. I'm still
that's
writing out checks and mailing them in with a stamp.
Wait, what?
Yes. I have a checkbook. I write them out. And I mail them. And then I think, like, Paul Revere comes on his horse
and picks
up my mail.
That's
you know.
I'm trying to think the last check I wrote. I don't think I've written a check this year yet.
No, well, most people don't.
Right. But I like it. I think it's more elegant.
Elegant, I don't know. Yeah, I just that's what I do.
And it helps you keep track of shit.
In theory. In theory, it sure does.
And you're gonna sing on the Lifted project, yes?
I would like to.
That's
not
awesome.
Today because I have
No.
I went to see the Dropkick Murphys last night after winding down this bad cold I had last week.
Last night was a school night, lady. You go out on school nights?
Well, I was out because I had the legislature had their, we had our board meeting last night.
Okay. All right.
So I may have coerced some of the guys to come with me and walk up to see the Dropkick Murphys. Okay. And we had a great time. You know, they were very hospitable to us, the sedan and the people at the Neshuat Center there. Put us in the VIP section. They walked us in. We had a great time. It was a great show. It was a really nice to see that's the old Mid-Hudson Civic Center packed again for a show like it was 3-4 nights a week back in the day.
I saw my first concert there. Did you grow up around here?
I did.
Where'd you grow up?
In Wappinger.
Okay.
The town I legislated.
There you go. Beautiful. I grew up in Rhinebeck, and I saw Styx in the Civic Center in 1979.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
I love Styx. Crystal Ball is one of my favorite songs of all time. I just, that song, you put it on, it's like.
It was a great first concert. And then
Sure.
And then I went to, then I went and saw James Taylor and haven't been able to go to concerts since. Because for me, he's, okay, this is a good question for you. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Best living guitar player.
Wow. You said living.
Yeah. Best living guitar player. Because you're going to say Hendrix and
I'm not going to say Hendrix. I would not have said Hendrix.
Or Van Halen.
Jeff Beck.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I would have said.
Best living guitar player.
Man, this is really tough for me. I there's too many to choose from.
I have the answer if you want it.
No, it's all comparative, really.
I know the answer.
No, because there's so many. I mean, oh, God.
You know who John Butler is?
No, I don't know John Butler.
Oh, I'm gonna change your life.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Like, I like Zach. I love Zach Wilde.
Okay.
I love Yngwie for his arpeggios. I mean, I love Nuno Bettencourt. Like, I love all these great players, and they all do different things.
Right. Right.
So Joe Satriani.
Yes, good. Very good. Very, very good.
You know, Steve Vai.
Yeah.
I mean, these are and Satch and Vai are touring.
Right.
They're great people.
I'm gonna
John Sykes.
I'm gonna turn you on to John Butler because you're right. There's a lot of great guitar players,
and they all do different things. So
except
I like
John
them all
Butler
for different
does
things.
All of that.
Does he?
Yes, he's Australian. He's an Australian hippie, and he's. I'm gonna send you one song. Give me 12 minutes of your life. I will change.
Okay.
What you
well,
think
listen,
of guitar?
Here's the thing. Then I'm gonna give you homework. Maybe.
Okay.
Estas Tone.
Who?
Estas Tone.
Estas Tone.
Estastonne.
Okay.
Guitar player.
So
I'll do my homework, you do yours, and then we'll come back and we'll
when
revisit
we do the sequel,
this.
Yeah,
we'll
do the sequel. Compare notes.
We'll revisit.
Acoustic guitar or electric guitar?
There's beauty in both.
Okay. You're a politician. That's good.
I'm a music lover. Right.
The answer is acoustic guitar, but that's okay.
You know, it's and Estas Tone plays acoustic guitar.
I'm in. No, so, here's my. I love electric guitar, but electric guitar playing, just my stupid opinion, has become all about speed and
not the intricacies.
Right, right.
Of detail
and
of the beauty of the sound.
Or even time in between notes.
Right.
And that's why I like acoustic guitar, because acoustic guitar, there's time between notes and there's. And you can work with the instrument instead of electric guitar. Like, and I don't play electric guitar, but I've seen it.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
Right. Well, I've seen it. And to me now, it's all about speed, and that's not.
Yeah.
It almost becomes a party trick, and then it has a bigger margin of error than acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Because you're going so fast. People can't tell if you're missing anything.
Well, then hopefully those people won't notice if you screw up.
Right. Well,
I mean, if you mess up, then unless you're a guitar virtuoso, then you won't know.
Right. Well, that's why I always say that. I mostly play originals, so no one knows if I've screwed up.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, right? It's your notes.
Right. They're my notes, so you don't know what it was supposed to be.
So essentially you like playing that because you're practicing the pause in between.
For me, that's where the music is.
And it's so funny. I'm going to equate this to real life.
Go.
It's a great segue. So practicing the pause for music, and when I do motivational speaking, because I do keynote and motivational speaking too. So I do this thing.
I bet you're fantastic at that.
I do this thing called practice the pause.
Oh, wow.
So in theory, right? So like if you're just kind of reactive all day, we have to be on.
Right.
And you're just reacting to everything. So I always encourage everyone. And I had to learn this. This is a learned behavior because I was always very reactive and angry. And like you say something and I have to fire back right away. And
right.
So now I'm like, okay, let me just take 3 deep breaths and practice the pause. Let me sit with what that human just said to me. Let me digest it. And then I can be a little more reactive. Because when you react based on hearing someone versus listening to them, it's a whole different reaction.
Sure.
So now you can listen to someone and go, oh, wow, versus I just heard what they said. You right. weren't actually effectively listening.
Right.
It changes the ball game. So I do. I practice the pause now. So, I again, I'm going to segue back to music. When you practice the pause in music, you see the beauty of it in each individual note, in each individual drum stroke, all of that. Right. So I get it.
So are you Buddhist?
I'm not.
But that,
I have principles of everything embodied inside me.
Okay.
I'm Christian, though.
Practicing?
I grew up Catholic. I'm Christian. I go to Calvary Chapel.
Oh, cool.
And which is a great – they have a great music program, too, the first half hour. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I 3 theories. Number one, if you want to be a really good singer, you have to sing in a church choir because you learn to listen to other people while you're singing.
Sure.
And that's a real skill set that makes you a way better singer. Second, your practice the pause thing is very Buddhist because in Buddhism, the idea is to observe rather than react.
Right.
And so and it's the exact same thing you're talking about. The idea of reacting is my last option, and I'm going to detach and just observe what's going on, and then eventually the right move will come to me, if there's a move at all.
Yeah,
and
agreed. And I think that's important for people. And like I said, it's a practice. So this isn't something that just – it's a hard practice. So are there things that get me annoyed and stressed out and whatever? And then I have to kind of pull yourself back into that frame. It's not
– it's hard and – but there's a giant freedom in not having to react. Like just if you just can get your head around the fact, like, I don't have to react.
Yeah.
It's not an obligation.
No,
I can,
it's not.
And, but just
not reacting is a choice.
Right.
Oftentimes, that's my choice. My choice is not reacting.
Right.
Same way you go on a date and somebody ghosts you or doesn't call you back. that's a choice. That's like that.
No call is a call.
Right. No calls. No text is a text. Like,
right.
There's my answer.
There, yeah.
Both ways. True. Male to female. Female to, you
that's
know.
So true. Are you dating?
Not anyone in specific.
Okay, but
no.
You,
I have gone on dates.
What's that like?
It's interesting. People are like, why are you on a dating app? You don't really need to be. I don't need to be. You're right. I get hit on at the bar all the time. I get hit on when I'm out all the time. I don't want the people that I know. If I wanted the people that I knew, we'd be dating already.
Right.
Well, maybe not. There's a little bit of truth to that. Maybe not. I may have a secret crush or two, but and no, you're not getting names.
Oh, I was about to say. I was going right there.
No, but I've gone on a few dates and they're mostly the same. Guys are very and I don't say all generalized, but they lead with one thought in mind. And that's a great thought.
And that's just to get to know you.
That's a great thought. Right.
Just, I want to know how you're feeling.
Sure.
That's what it is.
That's a great thought, but down the line, don't lead with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You could say all those cool things. You're hot, you're sexy, you're this, you're that. I want to be with whatever line you want to throw at me. Cool. Down the line, after we talk, and I know you're not an asshole.
Right.
But right now, you're saying those things, and I kind of think you're an asshole.
do guys really lead with that?
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They do. Absolutely.
That amazes me that, because I'm not dating, but it amazes me that you wouldn't be sophisticated enough to know that the impression you're creating is that that's what you're all about, even if maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
Because it
amazes me the things that they want to share with you or tell you or send you. Like, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's like,
do you want to show me your phone?
Yeah. No, I do. No, my, actually, I have kids. My phone's wiped.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, would I be open to having a long-term relationship indefinitely? I'd be open to that. Yeah, but again, you have to be with a woman who's got a strong personality. And several dates I've been on, the guys are like, wow, yeah, you have a strong personality.
Who wouldn't want, again, I don't get
a
that.
A man that can't handle me, that's who.
But just because you have a strong personality doesn't mean you have to be handled. I mean, that makes you interesting.
They want someone they can talk at and not talk to.
Oh, okay.
They want someone they can control, and that's not me. Mm. You can't – that's not me. It's not – you're not controlling me.
That's good.
To me, it's
your
good.
Your mama did the right job. That's good.
Well, it was my mom and my dad. My dad was like, hey, listen, the reason I work 7 days a week, my dad's like, don't ever depend on a man. Don't ever do, you know.
That is the first thing.
Don't, you know, pay your own way. And,
that is the first thing we taught our daughter.
I try to live by that theory and you know, whatever it is. I'm trying to take care of my kids the best I can.
See, to me, that makes you more interesting and not less interesting.
Cool. I
don't know how you don't get bored with somebody that you are controlling after a while. Like, I've got a dog. How do you not get bored? I have a dog and pillows. How do you not get bored?
I
know.
And it goes both ways. I don't want a guy that does everything I say either. It's got to be a compromise.
Right.
I know a friend of mine that's dating someone, and he'll do, she says jump, and he's like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, no.
There is just a guy perspective. There is sometimes, it's a luxury to have somebody else do the thinking for you.
Yeah.
So once in a while, it's nice to be with somebody who will say, no, we're going.
Oh,
X.
Listen, I'm all about, listen, if I have a partner and he's like, listen, we're going to do this and that and this, by all means, I don't have to think where we're going tonight.
Right.
Great,
how nice.
Let's go.
Right, right.
However, the caveat is if my so-and-so friend's band's playing over here and you want to go there, that's just not going to work for me. Or you can go there and I'll go there. And I'll meet you later.
It's why we have two cars.
Whatever. Right. I mean, it doesn't – or you can come with me. It's,
right.
You know, but it's all about compromise.
Right.
Right? It's all about compromise. Hey, let's try this. Let's do something different. You don't have to do the same thing. It's like Big Ben Parliament. You don't want to do the same thing.
Right.
You don't want to do Groundhog's Day every day in a relationship.
Amen.
You want to do different. You want to try different foods together. Yep. You want to go – on different vacations, you want to think outside the box. Do dates that you wouldn't normally do.
Right.
Hell, I like building blanket forts with those old-fashioned flashlights.
Do you really?
I do. Like,
that's
if you
cool.
can't build a blanket fort and
you're
have
out.
A flashlight, you're not my dude.
Got
you know?
It.
Like, see, let's tell creepy stories. And
okay,
like,
guys, when you see her on Facebook and you realize she's interested
Vincent
in dating.
Vincent Price, you know?
I bet you get flashlights and blankets in the mail now.
let's go. Yes.
You is your faith important in dating, or could you date someone who's not a Christian?
No, my faith. You can't not believe in something.
Okay. Okay.
You can't not believe.
So you
in
have
something.
To have a. You have to have a
you have
spiritual
to have a belief.
Right.
You have to have a belief in something. You have to believe what I believe. Again, we're all human.
Right.
Right. I mean, your thought process is very different to my thought process. However, we may get to the end game. Like math, the way I did math versus the way my children do math. We can get to the same answer.
Right.
How we got there is very different.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as you believe in something, I don't want you to believe in, like, killing people as a rule.
Right,
you know?
Right, okay.
I mean, you have to believe in some kind of spirituality.
The political career, are we at the end goal, or do you have further aspirations? Or
I don't know yet.
Okay, because
that's the honest to God truth. I don't know.
No, that's,
I don't
that's,
really know where it will take me. I know that I worked for the senator for 7 years, you know, doing community outreach and being out in the public and going to events and helping people. And I worked in the nonprofit sector for 18 years, again, because I love helping people.
Right.
And I saw this as an opportunity to help my town, to make sure that taxes stay relatively low, to bring the beauty back to this community and have a community-based area. I feel like back when I was a child growing up in that area, everyone knew everybody and we did community events and everyone would go to Bowdoin Park and there'd be fireworks and there'd be concerts and there'd, you know, you'd see so-and-so at the grocery store. Hey, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you? And nobody, there's no sense of community. You don't know who your neighbors are anymore. Mm. Your neighbor could be a serial killer. You don't know.
Right.
So it's like, I'm trying to bring back a sense of all that to a small town that's gotten a little bit ahead of itself, you know, mm-hmm. And I want to do what's right and slow and steady growth. I don't want no growth, but I want the buildings and the infrastructure that we have that are barren. Let's build there first.
Right.
Instead of building new, let's not have buildings that are run down. Let's not have properties that are look awful.
Right.
Let's have, you know, people go back to volunteering. We're going to be on this Greenway Trail. Hey, you know what? Do we have people that want to come back and cut back the Greenway Trail so the trails are trails? Let's get the volunteerism back. That's why I'm doing what I do.
That's beautiful. What's the hard part about it?
I don't really know that there's a hard. Okay, I guess the hard part is really learning about the resolutions and learning the legislative process of things.
Okay.
Up in the county, I think that's
so procedural stuff is the hard part.
Yeah, that's for me. That's the going and learning the terminology and
right
things like that. I think that's probably the hardest part for me, but. A lot of people would say, people, that's the hard part. That's easy for me. People is what I do.
Right.
You know, people is what I do. I'll do people all day. I'm not going to do people. I'm not going to do people all day.
But, in podcasting, that's called a pull quote.
But no,
I do people all day.
Well, you know, I do. I love people. I love to read people. I love to get to know people. I love to sit and talk with people. I like to find out what makes them tick. So, yeah, peopling's easy for me.
And you, how old are your kids?
They are 18 and 20. They'll be 19 and 21 this summer. They're really good kids.
That's awesome.
I love them. They help me. Are they still bratty sometimes? Do I cook them dinner and still cut their food? Sometimes I do, you know, but that's just me being a mom. Like, I'll make a sandwich and I cut their sandwich. And, you know, my daughter gets mad. Why are you bringing him a sandwich in his room? And I'm like, because he's my boyfriend.
That's my boy, yeah.
Because he's still my boyfriend, that's why.
Right. Yeah, so I,
you know,
I'm so scared. My daughter's junior now, so yeah. She's going to college in 2 years, and I already said no like 10,000 times. And she
yeah, well, my daughter went, and she came back.
Came back, she didn't like it, or came back?
Did not like, could not be away from me.
Mm, yeah.
I do too much for them. What happens? I think if gradually they learn to disconnect from you, in a gradual capacity, for me, I think that's great. And my kids are doing that gradually.
Yeah, I know. My daughter has two friends whose kids' older sisters did that this year, too. Went and just said, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. I don't know how did you handle it when she left? That's what I'm worried about.
I was like a lunatic. I was crying like a baby.
Yeah, that's going to be me.
Moved her in the whole way home. I cried going home. And I
can't even.
And then when my son would stay at my ex-husband's house and I was home alone, I was like,
ooh.
Well, this sucks. I have no one to talk to. And then I went out and bought a shotgun. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sleep with this every night. At least I know I'm protected between that and my dogs.
Right. You have dogs?
Yeah, I have a pit bull and a black lab, so.
Oh.
So and they protect my house.
You didn't need the gun. You got the
Well, I did.
Okay. Oh, you did?
I needed it.
Okay.
It felt good for me. You know?
I've never had a gun and because I'm so, like, absent-minded that yeah. I just know. Like, I'm not anti-gun at all, but I'm there's some people who shouldn't have them, and mm-hmm. I'm one of them. Because I'm so absent-minded, I know I'll leave it out. I'll clean it and leave it out and my dog will trip over it and shoot
well,
the
you
neighbor.
Wouldn't leave it.
No,
with
I would.
Bullets in it.
I'm not absent-minded. Oh, I would. Okay. That's why I don't.
I was like,
you wouldn't leave
and
it.
And the
with,
gun's not going to pull its own trigger. I mean, there is a firing component to the machine.
Right. You wouldn't because you're good with it.
And there is a safety on my
right,
gun. So
right.
I,
no. I just know myself.
Yeah.
You can,
and I have had lessons.
Okay.
And I continue to go shooting. It's
which is
therapeutic.
Right.
It's so funny. I've never shot a gun. Wait, do I still have the bruise?
Hold on.
I don't even know if I still have the bruise.
You have the coolest. Yeah, you do.
See the bruise?
Dude, what happened?
It was from the slugs. I went up to the buckshot and then I shot the slugs and it was.
Ouch.
Yeah, I have a full sleeve. This whole.
Oh, that's cool. Wait, can I
jacket
hold on.
Off.
I need a picture to promote the show anyway. Oh, that's beautiful.
So this is my Phoenix Rising after my parents. So I didn't have any tattoos at all.
Okay.
And then my parents passed away, and I lost my first son due to prematurity. So again, that's why I worked for the March of Dimes. But so this is a memory arm, this sleeve.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because my mom would have probably killed me, and so would my dad have.
That's right.
That I know got a tattoo, and I'm like, ha, you can't say anything. So then I have my daughter's sign, my sign, and my son's sign in my Phoenix rising. I have the crescent moon because that's my moon. So anyone that knows me, my kids are like, my son will text me if he's out with his friends. And he's like, Mom, go outside. I go, what? He's like, look up. It's your moon. He's like, I love you.
Aww.
If he's not with me. So it's, you know, it's just kind of cool. My daughter, yeah. You know, and music is my passion.
Right.
And that's a topic that's I'll beautiful. Get to. And then this is my skull. You can't see it. Can you? You can see it. It's not an actual outline skull, but it's like a candy skull.
Oh, okay.
See, can you see it?
No.
Two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. See it now?
Oh, now I see it. There okay, yeah, there it is.
It's supposed to be like a hidden.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I didn't want it out when I was campaigning and knocking on doors. Right. I didn't want people to think.
Skull.
She's evil.
Right.
I'm not.
No, you're definitely not
and
evil.
And this is my parents' wedding song.
Oh, my God.
It's All the Way by Frank Sinatra. And the heart with the angel wings is for my son.
Did you get, how long did all that take?
I don't remember. I fell asleep.
Oh, you got it all done in one?
No, it was like four sessions, but no. I fell asleep during all of them.
So it doesn't hurt?
It didn't hurt me. I have a really high pain tolerance. Even my elbow, it didn't, it really, I don't know, I have issues. Maybe I just like the pain too much. I liked it. I actually liked
you
it.
Liked
I liked the pain.
Yeah. I want a tattoo so bad. I actually liked it. I want one so bad. I know.
I would get some on my neck if I could, but I can't.
Why can't you?
It doesn't really look good in politics.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's not really,
all right.
Doesn't.
Yeah, but you got the sleeve. I mean, that's.
Yeah, at first they were kind of like, well, let's keep your jacket on. And I'm like, no, you know what? Everybody in the world's getting tattoos now. And why are people going to judge me? Because I have ink. It tells a story. It's
right.
No one's judging me for that. In fact, if I tell them the story of why it is.
It's beautiful.
I think that they would understand and go, wow, she lost her first son. This is her memory. Yeah. This is, you know, that I have me and my kids. Signs on here, like it's just beautiful to me. So
yeah,
no, and it's art, really. It's not like I'm getting a something.
One plan for today was to go get a tattoo after this. Now you're talking me into it.
I think you should do it.
All right,
tell them I sent you.
There you go. how you lost your first son at birth?
So I have an incompetent cervix, which I didn't know I had incompetent cervix.
Okay.
So yeah, he was. I gave birth to him. I was managing Fishkill Cemetery at the time. And then when he was born and I lost him, I left the job at the cemetery when I buried him there.
Mm.
It was tough for me.
Sure.
Yeah, I was with my first husband. He was a drummer, inevitably. Go figure.
We know your type.
So, yeah, I lost my son, and then I got pregnant with my daughter, and then when I was pregnant with Gia,
okay.
They actually gave me a stitch called a cerclage.
Okay.
And I actually, at 13 weeks, they put me in the hospital after I had that stitch, and they put me like this. It was called Trendelenburg position, so they put your head down.
Head down and feet up?
Feet up.
Okay.
And I lived like that till 30 weeks.
What?
And I couldn't leave the bed.
Wow. No wonder you're crazy about your daughter. If I laid like that for, so that's 17 weeks.
Yeah.
And you were, wow.
Yeah. So at 30 weeks, I said to the doctor, you got to get me out of here. I got to get out of this hospital because if you promise me you will not get out of bed, now the baby's viable. You've had the surfactant injections to make her lungs grow quicker in utero.
Right.
She'd be viable. Sure, I'll let you go home on bed rest. So I kind of like, me and my ex-husband were splitting up at the time. I was through a bad divorce, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't know.
You didn't know you were splitting up?
No, I didn't know he was going on tour and not coming home and meet somebody on the road.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I didn't know that was going to happen, but I kind of crossed my fingers and I was like, sure, doc, I won't get up. Now, I didn't leave the apartment, but I got up.
Right.
I mean, I'm taking care of myself. It's
right.
Who else was going to make me food? Like, no one was coming to bring me food.
Right.
He was on the road. It wasn't like I had a servant.
Would you date a drummer again?
Yeah, if they weren't. Yes.
Okay, great.
I'll stop with the derogatory remark. Yes, I would.
Okay, all
right. They just have to be a cool person. They have to be a nice human.
Being with somebody who tours is...
It doesn't matter to me who you are. You could tour. You could
be a
scientist. And I'm okay with all of that. You just have to be nice and loyal and genuine. And know my worth as much as your own.
Right.
And the worth of the relationship, like, you know, the worth of your partner, right? You're like, holy shit, I'm with her because she's an awesome individual. She's great. We vibe really well. We feed off each other's energy. She's good to me. She lifts me up. And I do the same for her, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So in theory, if you find someone like that who's your best friend that you can feel that way with, why would you want to go on the road and risk and lose that?
Right.
And again, I say it, and a lot of people can't forgive it. If it's a drunken stupor and you had a one-night stand and it was stupid idiot, you made a dumb move.
Right.
I almost could have forgave that. It's sure. The emotional component, the emotional fare.
Right.
That I couldn't forgive.
And which
rightfully
makes sense.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's when you get that emotional. People are like, oh, well, I didn't have sex until you were divorced, or I didn't do this, or I didn't, you know, whatever. You had an emotional affair with someone else's partner while they were together. That's right. Shittier.
It is shittier.
Than you doing a one night. Than right, you right. doing a hit and run.
I would have preferred, you know, the hit and run. Yep.
Right.
I totally know what you're saying. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm apt to date anyone who's not an a-hole.
Okay, fair
or,
enough.
You know, or who's a good human, right? It doesn't matter right. what political party. I don't – listen, do I want to hear the rhetoric of the federal liberal party at home every day? No. If we can keep politics outside the house, if there were someone who thought like that,
that's what
great.
I was going to ask. Could you – so you could be with somebody who
– my dad was a Democrat. My mom was a Republican.
Okay.
And you were together 60 years.
You're a Republican.
I am.
Okay. And you could, but you could, okay, this is a good question, I think.
I mean, we could agree to disagree
right,
at
right,
home.
Right,
what? And then you could have really good makeup sex after.
There you go. Okay. Now we're talking. You
know, I'm just saying, like,
maybe
you
should
know.
Seek out somebody who disagrees with you.
No, that's got to be a staple anyway.
Could you, is there any liberal position that feels truer to you than a conservative position on any issue? Because I'm liberal, but I there are some conservative positions that I'm like, yeah, no, they're right.
Okay, so like I have relatives that are gay.
Right.
I don't know if that's a conservative or what. That's just, to me, that's a human position.
Right, right.
That's, you know, you're loving who you love.
It's, right.
That's not a position. That's a human position. So I don't really know if that's a thought
process.
How did you
come to that? Because I had a journey with that. Because I used to I went to a Christian college, and I was going to be a pastor actually. And
I grew up with it.
You did. Okay.
My cousins are gay, and
exposure's the trick.
It
man.
Wasn't an issue for me. Like right. It wasn't. You know, my cousin would dance inside while everybody else was playing stickball in the Bronx.
Right.
With me and Michael, if you listen to this, I love you. And you know, like it's not an issue.
You
know, and he dated women when he grew up, and he just was like, hey, you know, it's not really my thing.
Right.
It's like, so what are you going to tell someone? No, this has to be your thing.
There are people that say that.
I get it, but your thing is your thing. Just like some people like vanilla,
right?
Some people, not so much. You know, so like I can't tell you what your thing is.
Right.
Everyone's got their own kink. Everyone's got their own thing. Like, I'm not going to be that person behind your door at your home or what you do.
Right.
To tell you what to do.
Right.
See, then again, I believe in the Second Amendment, so that I'm conservative in that way, and right. I believe in God and country.
Right.
So there's I'm conservative in that way.
Maybe I am conservative. I have to take a look at this.
But I'm just saying. So no. I really embody. I feel like. Almost everybody in a sense, but I do have my conservative values that
sure.
I won't part with when it comes. But again, I'm not legislating on a federal level. Will I ever get to that point one day? Probably not, but stranger things have happened.
It would not shock me. You would have my vote.
Thanks.
I think you're super thought out.
You know, it's not really a thought out. It's who I am.
Okay, even
so
better.
It's so funny.
Then you're intuitively
people say,
thought
oh my
out.
God, you're going to go far in politics. And it's like, I don't know. I am.
That's even more. If it comes natural to you, then that's your flow. Then...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to do anything. I don't do anything quid pro quo. I'm not like,
right.
You know, doing something.
You're not building a career, but a career could happen.
Right. If it happens, it happens. If someone says, hey, run for this, you could win. Maybe.
Tell me about the music thing.
So the music thing, right? When I was 18, I loved, I mean, actually, when I was 10, 11, 12, growing up with siblings that were older, we had the 8-track player, right? So with the
yep.
And I still have my Captain Fantastic in 8-track.
Nice.
I don't know if I have an 8-track player anymore, but I still have the 8-track tape, and I think I have a Kiss Dress to Kill maybe in 8-track.
That's gorgeous. That's just gorgeous.
So my siblings listened to rock and roll when they grew up, and my brother graduated in 79, my sister 81, my other brother, 83. So they were older than me. And so they let me listen to music. And my mom loved, my parents loved music. They danced in the kitchen, which is why I do need someone who likes to dance in the kitchen also.
Fair enough. Fair
so
enough.
So put that on the list.
There you go.
Dancing in the kitchen.
That's in the show notes. She'll do people all day, but you got to dance in the kitchen.
Dead. I'm so regret that I said that. I said I could people all day.
Right.
But yeah, so I grew up within a musical household, and my dad, God rest his soul, when he was retired, he got the guitar, he got he got all these instruments, trumpets and congas, and he just tried to play everything because he just wanted to be musical.
Mm.
He just wanted to be musical. He didn't care what it was. He just wanted to play music so bad.
That's cool.
So I listened to everything from Buddy Rich and Gene Kelly and, you know, dancing and Gene Krupa and orchestras and ELO. And then my mom would listen to the Andrews Sisters and Patsy Cline, then to my Aerosmith. And so then when I was 18, my friends who I grew up with were all like, oh, I'm going to work a show. What do you mean you're going to work a show? What show are you working? We're doing load in, we're doing load out for shows. Oh, okay. They need a runner. Want a runner? Sure. What do I have to do? I don't know. You take this rider and you get the band whatever they want. Thus started my career as a runner.
And that's what a runner does.
Yeah. So basically, I was 18 at the Orange County Speedway.
Okay.
So my girlfriend did it, and then I did it with her. And my friend hired all the people to, you know, they were riggers and loaders and all this stuff and spot op guys. And some of those guys are still doing it today, and I still see them. And they're like, hey, look, there's my guys that I worked with
right.
all these 30-something years doing concerts. You know, some of them went off to be in the union, and they're still doing it. And some of us, you know, got on to other things. But I still would do it. Like, I got called to be a runner yesterday for that Dropkick Murphy show. And I was like, wow. And I love doing it. So you get the writer, and you just get the band what they need. You're dealing with the tour managers and production assistant, and I've done that, and I've done wardrobe. I've done hospitality at Bethel Woods and a bunch of other places. I still do bartending at Bethel Woods. I still bartend at Daryl's house. I like to do shows. I do security at Capitol Theater, MVP Arena. So all these years, I was a runner for every band that's come through this town, I've worked for them. And I love it.
Fantastic.
It's not much money. It's not right. like it's a glamorous job. And everyone's like, oh, my God, you're so lucky. It's not luck. It's a hard work. You're right. there. It's between 7 and 8 in the morning. You don't leave till sometimes 2 a.m. to the bus call. Just you're picking the bus driver up. Now I'm older, and I'm like, listen.
That's a lot.
Listen, no. I'm like this. Now I'm kind of a bitch. I'm like, listen. Yeah, the runner could go get the bus driver, but here I tell you, I drop the bus driver off. I'm like, the hotel is like 3 miles up. You can get an Uber. I can give you $10. It's for me to leave 3 hours earlier to sit here and wait for your ass.
Right.
Here's $10. Take it over, bro.
Right.
You know, like, now I just don't care. Now I'm like, you know, and they do. Or now right. I'm like, friends are like, I'll help you. So like, wait, the runner's got a runner? Like, I've heard that before. Like, aren't you supposed to be carrying this stuff to our bus? I go, yeah, but my friends at the show, and they said they would hump this stuff for me. So now I just kind of, it's just funny.
But you still do it.
I would do it if they asked. And I right. have done it in the last couple of years. Yeah. I love it. I love to be around music. There's something. So you know that show, Turn the Page?
Yes.
When you listen to that song and you turn it up loud and you have the headphones on and you see a video, and there's something about walking into a venue, seeing it desolate, watching production happen, seeing all those guys come in, loading the gear in, putting it on stage, watching the whole production come together, watching as they bring all the clothes and the back line and all this stuff to the crowd coming in, to the stage going dark, to set change, to those lights coming on, to that first note where you know that band's coming out. There's no bigger rush in the world if you're a music lover than that moment when the friggin' lights go dark, that first note goes on and the crowd goes wild. That's why I love it.
Mm.
That's why I will always do it.
Mm.
It's so funny. People are like, so you're a legislator and you're bartending? So you're a legislator and you... So what? I'm not allowed to like music because I'm in politics? I love music.
I almost
music.
Want it's my legislator to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm real.
Right.
Just because I do this doesn't hold me above anyone else. It's right. not like, oh, I'm a legislator, so I have to be above reproach. It's not like, I mean, I do in some senses of the word, but no, you voted for me because you voted for me because I'm a human and I'm for right. everyone. And this is my hobby. And I implore everyone that I work for, like, go listen to music. If you're having a bad day, find something that you love. Find a song that you love. Listen to some of the stuff I love. Ask me for music that right. turns me on. I'll gladly send it out. You know, I want people to find that love for music because mental health is such a stigma in our day and age, as you noted. My daughter even went through it.
Mm.
My daughter suffers from depression, as we all do. Oh. I don't want to say it's just herself. We all do.
But she's clinical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tough. But you know what? Thing is, you have to, music is her passion. Music is my son's passion. You find that one thing that you love and you go with it.
Right.
This way, when you have that moment, it's like, all right, it's not a bad day. It's a bad moment. And right. I'm going to get through it because I'm going to put on my favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people that my daughter listens to, the Billie Eilishes and the Olivia Rodrigo and all these people, the new people coming on, even Justin Bieber, he's now Christian. Mm-hmm. All the stuff he went through, they went through it because of emotional breakdowns. And what happens in a breakdown? A breakthrough.
If you do it right, yeah.
And hopefully these people are doing it right.
Right. If you do it right.
And you listen to music and you can have that breakthrough. Everything good happens on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I implore everyone every day, do something you're afraid of.
Yes.
Have that breakthrough.
Yep.
You know, don't just have a breakdown, have a breakthrough.
I got to get you out of here because you have a meeting.
Yeah, you're good. I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm good. I mean, we can stop whatever, but.
No.
And I have a friend that's coming in, I heard, after this anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know her?
Very good friends.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you want to stay for her?
I would love to stay and have her. Does she just gonna walk in or what?
Probably, yeah.
Let's see where she is. Let's tell her to get her butt in here.
Well, find out where she is.
Are you kidding me? I would love to see her. Are you kidding me?
11:10. I'm sorry, I'm running late. No worries. There we go.
Great.
Oh, cool. All right. Oh,
we'll stay for her to come, and then we'll welcome her.
Fair enough. All right. It's hard. I don't know. But having been depression's chronic. You never actually get over it. So as a parent of somebody with a chronic disease, how's she doing? Is she managing
it? She has
it?
Her good days and bad days.
Yeah.
She has her good days, like good moments and bad moments.
Right, right.
You know, there are days that she does really, really well, and there's other days that she's having a shitty day. And
there is amazing wisdom in your philosophy of find something passionate that you love and get out of your comfort zone and do that, and do that every single day. That's actually I'm not cured, but I manage it every day, and I haven't had a bad day. And
you said you write. My daughter writes.
There, that's it.
She sits and she writes. No matter what, she will
that's
sit
what
there
you
and
gotta
write.
Do.
And sometimes she'll go, "Mom, read this." And sometimes I'm like, oh, it's great. Other times I'm like, huh, wait, what? I don't get it. And then she'll have to explain it to me.
Yeah, but
and that's
the
great.
Point is she's writing.
Yeah.
Maybe what happened to me happens to her. Maybe you do that long enough and you learn that your mind is something you can manage. Because depression for me was I'm a victim of my mind. Like my mind is telling me what to do. My thoughts are telling me what to do.
Right.
And through doing this, and I work out every day too, but through working out and doing these pages and meditating, I learned, and maybe this works for her, maybe it doesn't, I don't know, but I learned to treat that I'm in control of my mind, not the other way around.
Agreed. Agreed. Also, it's also how you speak to yourself.
Yeah.
And how you think to yourself.
Totally.
Because if you speak to your, and again, this is not the pot calling the kettle black. Well, this is the pot calling the kettle black because I've done it. It's not me saying, oh, you have to do this. I've spoken to myself in a negative manner.
Right.
And then I have negative feelings and negative thoughts and I feel like shit.
Right.
And I've spoken to myself in a positive manner. Now, am I going to tell you that life is rainbows and you know, unicorns and everything's great every time you speak to yourself well and everyone's like, oh, manifest this and manifest that. And that's great. And I believe all of those philosophies. I do. You're allowed to have bad moments.
Yeah.
And you just have to pull yourself back into that frame where you go, you know what? I'm going to talk to myself nicely. So I tell my daughter, speak to yourself nicely. Don't say, why me? What did this happen to me? The me. Right. It's not that. It's like, what can I learn from this?
But
how can
I get above it? The step before what you're saying is, at least it was for me, the step before what you're saying is that I can control how I speak to myself.
Yeah.
Like the I'm. That, yeah. And maybe this works some for your daughter too.
Acknowledgement almost.
Well, no, the idea that I can control it. Because when you're depressed and you're listening to your own thoughts, you're the victim. You're passive and your thoughts are running you. And like I kind of learned to turn that around and say, okay, it's just a thought. I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to say it to myself. I don't have to act on it. And now I get to manage the information. I get to pick and choose what I'm going to, what I'm going to take in. And because depression is you take in so much and it weighs so much that you just can't move.
Yeah.
And if she learns to filter and first acknowledging that she's in charge of it, like I get to pick what's in my head.
Yeah.
And that
you
is
also
super
get to
freeing.
Pick what you react to and how you react.
Yes.
Like we discussed
before.
So certain people in my life have said things to me before. I would go, oh my God, oh my God. Now I don't give those people space in my head anymore.
That's a masterful thing to be able to do.
It's like, well, what you used to say used to bother me.
Right.
Because I would give you space to feel something.
Right.
I'm not giving you space to own that anymore. So now I have no reaction.
And I have learned that almost everything that someone says to me that hurts my feelings or puts me down has almost nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And,
oh, no, it has everything to do with them.
Right. Right.
Just like the people that I have on social media. I have stalkers. I have haters. Those are the people that are watching me the hardest.
Yep. Yeah.
I know that. Right. I see it. It's like, don't you know it shows how many views it's... It shows who's viewing your stuff.
You're a shitty stalker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you're terrible. I'm really good at it. You're terrible.
How do you handle the stalkers?
They don't care.
That's the trick.
They don't give them space.
Right.
Great.
Right.
Find out what I'm doing. Right. It doesn't matter to me. You know, if you don't like it, then don't watch it.
Right. Right.
You know, people like they oh, she's running for office. Yeah, I'm running for office and I won.
Right.
And I'm hopefully going to win again. Hopefully I'll do even greater things and hopefully I'll get more public speaking engagements after this and hopefully people will want me to be a keynote or just be a, you know, a person who introduces a party or, you know, whatever that looks like. I'm a high energy, have fun, you know, get the crowd going kind of individual. And if that bothers you, that's on you. I'm not dimming my shine for you.
Right.
I'm up here.
Right.
I'm not bringing myself down to your level. You can rise up to meet me, but I'm not coming down.
Good for you, man. I have to learn that. I have one internet stalker who's making me crazy. What was making me crazy. And he follows me on everywhere I go. He writes an email and says, Burton's blah, blah, blah. Burton's an asshole. Blah, blah. Because when I was crazy, I did crazy shit.
Okay, and, understandably so.
Right. And that's the headline. Yeah,
and
crazy
I think even people
crazy
who
shit.
Weren't crazy have done crazy shit.
Right.
Like when we were maybe 16, 17, 18.
Well, I waited till I was 50. But
whatever.
Right. But
I'm just saying, everyone's done crazy shit.
Yeah, right.
That, crazy is as crazy does.
Right,
you know?
Right. And he just kind of – and I'm just now learning just to like shrug it off because I was going to war. I had lawyers and I was going to a war. And then I'm like, I didn't think it as articulately
energy.
As you said. Right. I'm up here. You can come meet me if you want.
Come meet me. No, I have people that used to be my friends and they don't want to engage anymore. Okay.
Is that because of the politics?
There's several factors, I'm sure. But either way.
Did politics cost you friends, though?
I don't think so as of yet, but maybe, I mean, I don't think so, but who knows?
Right.
Does anyone really ever tell you why they don't talk to you anymore? And not that I have no one in particular. Well,
because if they
one
did,
person
they'd still
that's
be talking,
not talking to
you.
Me anymore, but that's a whole different reason. But, I don't think so. I mean, pretty much I've had friends since I'm 5 years old and they're still my friends.
Yeah.
So growing up in this town, in this community, it's funny because a friend of mine was like newer girlfriend that I've met recently, she's like, how come everywhere we go somewhere, she's like, you know them for 30 years. Every time we go somewhere, you're like, I know that one 30 years. And I know that one. I go, because I do. We're
right.
friends for 30 years. Like, and I pride myself on that.
Yeah.
So when I make you as a friend and I keep you as, you might be not in my top five or inner circle friend, but you're in my circle. Once you're in my circle of friendship, which is vast, and everyone's always says, oh, I keep my circle so small, four quarters, blah, 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 pennies, that whole analogy. Great, but if I consider you a friend, it means I still would do anything for you, whether we talk all the time, whether we don't. You're still my friend, and I want to be your friend forever.
Yeah, I've never understood people who say that. Like, you know, I have four friends, and that's all I need.
Okay, good on
you. Why would you not accept positive energy in a positive relationship from anybody if that's what life is bringing you? I want 700. I bet that's her. I want 700 friends.
I want. Well, maybe I have 700 friends. And she's not here yet.
I can
Cher, we're waiting for you with bated breath.
I can edit that part out. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't. Yeah. Like, 700 friends
so
would
I
be great.
So I have like almost 6,000 followers on my Facebook page. Right. So I can't add any more friends. But they can follow me. And that's fine. And that's all well and good. And I'm open to that. People could follow me on Instagram. It's open. They could follow me on TikTok. I don't mind that. And people go, oh, aren't you worried about people seeing? This is me. I'm an open book. And if any constituents want to have a conversation about, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. You might see me with a Bailey's on the rocks in my hand or a White Claw in my hand. That lasts me the whole entire night.
Right.
And some nights I don't at all partake. It's just once in a blue moon. I'm not out there. It's just not my thing.
Right.
You know? So there's no constituent that's going to come to me and go, oh, my God, you like concerts? Or, oh, my God, you. So if that's not a thing, if they're not going to like me, it's not going to be for that.
Right.
I tell you. You
or know? If they don't like you for that, then, okay, then you're not my voter.
Yeah, and again, but if people don't like me for that reason, I implore them to come and get to know me.
Right.
Like, shoot me an email. Shoot me a text. You know, people, you can find me. I'm easily findable.
Do you have an office?
Like the county legislature is my office. Okay, yeah, you can call up there and they'll give you my email and my phone number's on the website. My email's on the website. I implore all of my people in my community to come out and talk to me.
And you love doing this.
I want people to talk to me. I love people to talk to me.
No, I mean the job. You love the job.
I love it.
That's amazing.
I love it. You're allowed to be there 12 years. I hope I can be there 12 years.
And how deep into it are you now? How many years?
No, this is my first year.
This is your first year?
I won in November. Oh, I got sworn in January, baby. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
I got 11 and a half more years to go.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's great.
With the help of God. I mean, I hope so, you know?
Yeah. Do you
And I tell you, since I started going to Calvary Church, I do a lot. I know I've been walking with God my whole life, but now I walk a little deeper with him.
Okay.
I had open heart surgery in 97.
Oh, you did?
I did. Oof. And I suffered from AFib.
Okay.
Atrial fibrillation. So I had an ablation a year ago, and then I didn't have any more episodes, thank God, or goodness, whatever, knock wood, whatever you want to knock. then I'm at the gym a couple weeks ago with my kids because we go to the gym together. Family works out together, stays together.
I like the way
I've been
think?
Taking them to the gym since they were in car seats.
That's cool.
So you lead by example, right? So I led by example with music. I led by example with working out. I made sure my kids were athletic and they loved taking care of their bodies. I had AFib in the gym. I was 188 beats a minute.
Oof.
I called my sister on the phone to say goodbye.
I've done a buck 88. but I don't have it. Oh, you did?
I did. I called her to say goodbye. Like you were probably there for a different reason.
Yeah, and I wasn't there long.
Yeah. So I didn't tell my kids I was having AFib, and then I went into the locker room, called my sister, and I said, just, this is where this is, this is where that is, take care of the kids, tell them I love them, I'm out.
And you thought that was
my time. Yeah. I'm probably going to go into, you know, any minute I'm going to have a seizure, a heart attack, a stroke, something. And,
right.
Because it just kept going up. And so she's like, calm down. I said, no, I'm just going to go sit for a minute. So I went into another room and I sat and I put on Christian music. I put on my headphones and I prayed to God. And I said, God, listen, you made me in the likeness of you. You told me you're a great healer. If I have any,
this would be good.
If I have any clout up there, if you really love me, my parents are up there. Please heal me right now. I have kids. It's not my time. If it be your will, please. And within seconds, he came into my heart. I literally felt him come in my body. I'm not even lying.
Wow.
And my heart rate went down to 89 beats a minute.
And been there since.
Been there since. So when I tell you, I believe it. I believe it.
Just come on in.